Amen. Lord, we need you and we need your word, that you would gain this holy priesthood and that your heart's desire would be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Yeah, Malachi 2:10 says, have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously with one another? By profaning the covenant of the fathers. Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the Lord's holy institution, which he loves. He has married the daughter of a foreign god. Lord, save us. The covenant of the fathers. We have heard that the covenant he has made with us is to receive a holy priesthood, a holy nation. This is the covenant that he has made with us. And this covenant is not just one man with God, but it's his, all of his people, with all of his people. He created his whole people. In the Old Testament, it was the children of Israel. In the new covenant, it is the new creation, the heavenly Jerusalem. And he wants to make this entire people holy. And God wanted to make Israel holy, but how did it end up? It ended up in unholiness, in extreme unholiness. The word says it was even worse than the nations. You have to imagine this. This people, they were called to holiness, but they ended up being worse than the nations around them. This is a true catastrophe. And if we look at history, it wasn't just that the entire nation or the whole people just fell into unholiness immediately. But Malachi 2:10 says that they dealt treacherously with one another. So the people influenced one another towards unholiness. And this is really a catastrophe. And if we read Ezra 9 and 10, then we also see that the situation arose, the situation that they were in so much unholiness arose by this beginning. Ezra 9:1. Ezra instituted new things that the Lord pleased the Lord. And it says, when these things were done, the leaders came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the peoples of the lands with respect to the abominations of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and so forth. Verse 2, for they have taken some of their daughters as wives for themselves and their sons, so that the holy seed is mixed with the peoples of those lands. Indeed, the hand of the leaders and rulers has been foremost in this trespass. They were foremost in this trespass. They were the ones who began the unholiness. And as the people saw that, okay, when the leaders, the highest people, so to say, can do this, then I can also live like this. Well, if Toby can do that, then, can't I do that too? There's always an influence on one another, and we cannot underestimate this, because Malachi said that they dealt treacherously with one another. If I'm treacherous towards the Lord and don't pursue holiness, then it's not something that just remains with me. It will be seen by others, and then others will say, well, okay, well, why should I pursue holiness so much? There, he's also not taking it so seriously. That's the beginning of the end. That's why it's so important that we would all pursue holiness, especially those who have been here longer. We much more should pursue holiness to be an example in holiness. This is the negative example here in Ezra 9:2, that this unholiness was multiplied so much that they needed 3 months to solve the problem, because it spread throughout the whole people, all of the children of Israel. And we're always an example for somebody. We always have an influence on somebody, either towards the positive or towards the negative. So let us really pursue holiness, and to have an influence to holiness, and to tell the Lord, I don't want to be treacherous or unfaithful. We have a responsibility towards one another, not to just live in any way, but to pursue the Lord. And it's not a matter of age. Paul encouraged this brother in 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers. Not to the unbelievers, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Is this not good to have examples? It's much more effective to have an example than to just have pure doctrine. If I say, okay, always drive according to the speed limit, you'll say, okay, well, that's a good teaching. But one time I drove with somebody who, interpreted the speed limit with a certain tolerance. And then I used to know him that way. And he actually then started to really keep himself to the speed limit. I thought, oh, I really do need to watch out and keep the speed limit. So this example is much stronger than teaching. Teaching doesn't draw people. But if you see someone who is really holy for the Lord, who goes on with the Lord, who burns for the Lord, don't you also want to burn for the Lord and go on with the Lord? And you know, age has nothing to do with this. It doesn't play a role. It doesn't mean if you became a believer yesterday or 15 years ago. It's about our pursuing the Lord. And if we let ourselves be sanctified, and then we can be faithful to one another. Deal faithfully with one another and not profane the covenant of the fathers. We don't want to profane this covenant. We want to be a holy priesthood. And we should really consider one another and to stir up love and good works. Let's do the things that that we would pursue holiness together, not do the things that would lead one another to pursue unholiness. And in verse 14, 1 Timothy 4:14, do not neglect the gift that is in you. And then in 16, it says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, and not just for himself, because for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So good. To when you see saints who are full of the Spirit, then you have the desire also to be full of Spirit. This always is an incentive for me. It motivates me. And it says, for example, brother, how are you so full of the Holy Spirit? Can you help me? Because I also want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is so good that we can help one another become this holy nation or be this holy nation. Because we all have one Father, and God has created us. In verse 11 in Malachi 2, it says, Judah has dealt treacherously, the whole nation, and an abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem, for Judah has profaned the Lord's holy institution, which he loves. He has married the daughter of a foreign god. the Lord's, he profaned the Lord's holy institution, which he loves. What's the holy institution which he loves today? Psalm 16. Oh, Lord, verse 3. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The saints who are on the earth, in whom is all my delight. This is the holy institution that God loves. And how do we deal with this holy institution? How do we deal with one another? How do we speak with one another, to one another? If we meet one another, we have to really consider before we open our mouths, if what I'm speaking is really a word of life, a word of grace, a word for edification, or is it just this topic that's really occupying me in the politics, in medicine, or in the darkness, and then I meet my brother Roland, and then we talk about this, and then I meet Johannes, and I only talk about this. Are the saints built up after that? Are they full of the Spirit after that? Or are they just thinking, okay, well, what should I do? Okay, how will it continue? And then the brother leaves with full of worries after speaking with me. That's not good. Then we are really treacherous, unfaithful. And then we don't see that this is the holy institution which he loves. It's not a small matter how we deal with the saints, how we interact with the saints. I cannot just talk with my saints in any way and just do anything with them. And at the end, we pull each other down instead of pulling each other up. Ephesians 4 is a positive word. And it requires exercise, practice. If we really love his holy institution as he loves it, then the Lord says, no foul word should come out of our mouth. Can we exercise this to not let one foul word come out of our mouth? Try it again the next day, practice it the next day. Not one bad word, no corrupt word. Sorry, verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. With a few sentences, you can impart much grace, but for this, you also need to partake of his grace. If I am filled with nonsense, I will speak nonsense. But if I'm filled with the Holy Word, with the Holy Spirit, then there's also a way to really impart words of grace to the saints. So this way of holiness, of sanctification, of loving his holy institution begins with my own condition. And this word in Malachi is really a warning for me to not just live in any way, but to pay attention to what God loves and to take care of these things. Matthew 12, the Lord spoke an even stronger word himself. Verse 36. The Lord says, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Oh, Lord. Then we may not have that much more to say. Every idle word that we have spoken. The holiness of the Lord is something very precious. And let us deal with this in a corresponding way and really exercise ourselves to impart grace to one another. Malachi 2:12, may the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob, This has a lot to do with the love of the world to marry the daughter of our foreign God. We're actually betrothed to Christ, but if the love is for Christ is no longer there, then it doesn't make sense to marry someone whom you don't love with the best love. So if you love somebody, but you love somebody more, don't marry the one that you just love and not love more, because it won't be a good marriage. It's really about the love towards the Lord and for the Lord. It says here, he has married the daughter of a foreign God. Who is the foreign God? There's only the Lord and the devil. And we really don't want to give our love to the things of this world, which belongs to the devil. We don't want to let these things rob us of our love towards the Lord. Let us not love this world. The Lord has touched me much more this year than ever before to not love the world. And Paul said, I have been crucified to the world and the world to me. This applies to everything, even the so-called good things of the world. For a long time, I had a purpose. I wanted to achieve many things at work for the Lord. And this was often a hindrance for me, because it draws me in a wrong direction. It has nothing to do with sin, but still, it is the love for the world. And one day, the Lord made it clear to me, you are crucified to the world, and the world to you. Apply the cross. It's good to apply the cross to everything that is not of the Lord, that we would be free from all the daughters of this foreign God, because he has many daughters. And he wants to distract us from having the Lord be our best love and make the Lord number two. But we will not permit this, because we can apply the cross of the Lord. And we want to really love him with the best love, with our whole heart. And if we love the Lord, we need such dealings with the Lord. May the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob the man who does this. We see that the leaders were the ones who actually began with this, who started with this. Yeah, may the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob the man who does this, being awake and aware. Being awake and aware. So the one who's awake is the teacher, and the one who is aware is the student. He learns from the teacher, yet who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts. This is a serious word. He will cut off the man who does this. And what does this mean for us? Let's go to Luke 12, 45-46. It says, but if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, instead of giving them something to eat, you start to criticize the saints, to make problems for the saints through your behavior. That's not good. It's not nice. And to eat and drink and be drunk, that means to love the world and to have your enjoyment in the world. The master of that servant, meaning of this believer, will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. This is what it means to cut off the man who does this. He will cut him in two. This is the consequence. if I don't take care of my relationship to the Lord and to my ministry or my service to the Lord, and then Malachi 2:12 can come, that the Lord will cut them off the man who does this, that he will cut us in two. It's much better to be this servant in Luke 12:42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise servant? We want to be faithful. In Malachi, it talks a lot about dealing treacherously or unfaithful. And here we see the word faithful. And it's so good to tell the Lord, Lord, I want to be a faithful servant. I want to be a faithful priest. Yeah, whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season. Oh, Lord. And this point of food is very important. When it concerns holiness, going on to the Lord and about the love of the Lord going downhill, then I think I could say that the main reason is that the food is missing. The spiritual food is missing. If my spiritual life is weak and sick, and I realize how I have so many difficulties to go on with the Lord, then it's a good question to pose. Lord, when was the last time I ate you? And how much have I eaten of you? And when was the last time I took time to really eat you in your word and in spirit and in prayer? The word of God is not first and foremost for us to study and to preach. Of course, we're speaking the word. The main reason that the word is there is for us to eat it. Hallelujah. Do you believe this? Jeremiah 15:16. This is such a way to be faithful. To love the Lord. Jeremiah 15:16. How could the prophets remain faithful? How could they in extreme situations remain faithful? Jeremiah really had a difficult lot. Your words were found. It says, does it say I studied them and I taught them? No, it says your words were found and I ate them. I swallowed them up. Do you have hunger for the word of the Lord? Why do we read the word? Why do we come to the word? How do we deal with the word? How do we deal with our time in the word? The brothers have said recently, there's not that much to say about it, but go eat the word into you. That's what the Lord said to Ezekiel, son of man, eat this scroll. And he also spoke to Daniel, eat this scroll and then it will be sweet in your mouth and bitter in your stomach. Then it'll work. And a brother asked after hearing the word, how can he experience the word that he tasted, that he experienced? It was sweet as honey. And then that answer was, keep eating this word. Day by day, keep eating. Don't just keep thinking about the conference that was, but take the word and eat it. That was my preparation for tonight. I ate the word. I chewed Malachi 2:10-17. I asked the Lord, what is the holy institution? Show me where I deal treacherously. Show me what it means to deal treacherously with one another. Speak to me. Speak to me in my life. It's not just a matter of pray, reading, and repeating something 10 times. I think we've seen this in our own history. It doesn't help. At the end, it was horribly unholy. There was no trace of holiness. But we have to eat the word that in such a way that it would become bitter in our stomachs, that it would work, that it would gain, that it would develop such a strength in us, that it would cause us to love the Lord and to love his purpose. Yeah, we want to be stewards. Yeah, who really give food to one another. If you have to eat well yourself to be able to give good food to others, because most chefs are really people who know how to eat well. So this is really the way, and we shouldn't deal with this in a loose way or take it lightly. Yeah, where did... In Nehemiah 13, what was missing? It was the food of the Levites was missing. It was gone. And if the food is missing, where do the Levites go? They go to some store, or they went to the field and they pursued the things that the others pursued. Lord Jesus, let us eat the word, eat the Lord in the word more. Let us become richer in our eating of the Lord in the word. I told the Lord in these days, Lord, I want to learn to eat Malachi. We've heard so much about it, but it's not really working that strongly. It won't work so strongly if you don't go to the Lord yourself and deal with him, speak with him, and tell the Lord, Lord, give me understanding. Give me the spirit of counsel. Show me where I deal treacherously with one another. How can I be faithful? Lord, show me where I have married a daughter of the foreign God. This is a different type of eating. It's not, amen, the daughter, amen, of a foreign God, amen. If you do this, I don't know if you will receive light about whether you love the world or not, or how. It won't help you. Yeah, but let this word become food to you, that it would become bitter in your stomach. And this will save us from all of the things that are written here. We don't want to make this mistake like in Nehemiah 13, because then at the end there won't be food anymore. Then it's over. That's why in Malachi 3, I'll just read it now because we're talking about this blessing. Yeah, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, Malachi 3:10, that there may be food in my house. We really want to come to the word and eat the word. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing, does it say, and give you a little drop of blessing? No, it says pour out for you such blessing. This is how his blessing comes, his fullness comes, that there will not be room enough to receive it. And this is so precious, so that he would really receive the holy institution which he loves, namely the holy priesthood. So thank the Lord that this word from Malachi is practical. If we take the word, we pray over it, eat it, chew it, and then we eat it into us until it becomes our life, and that we would be examples to one another in holiness, that the Lord can go on, and it, we can go on more quickly together if we don't deal treacherously with one another, but we stir on one another up to pursue holiness. I asked the Lord, should I serve in the word? Because right now with 4 kids, I'm just so, I have very little capacity. And I was somewhat afraid to commit myself to serve with the word. And the brother said, do I want to share my experience in the marriage life? And the Lord did give me a burden for the marriage life, as we read here in Malachi 2, about the Lord hating divorce, but he put man and woman to be together, to be one unity, one unit. And it says that he should not deal treacherously with the wife of your youth. Here we see that marriage is so important. This nature of love or love just gets expressed through the marriage. You can't say I'm full of love or I love. And then someone will say, okay, whom do you love or what do you love? Or if I say I am love, the question is, who loves you? God is love. It is his nature. And in Genesis, let us make man in our image. He said, let us make man. God is the Father, Son, and the Spirit. And in God, we see this perfect love because love requires a counterpart. And man has been created in the image of God. And God wants the church as his counterpart for the Lord. And in marriage, then, the husband gets a counterpart in his wife. And all these relationships, we see that love requires a counterpart. How did God show us and prove to us his love? It was through Christ. It was a ministry or service unto man. When there's a counterpart, then you see the expression of his love that someone has. And in our marriage life, the relationship that Christ has towards the church should be expressed. And we see this in Ephesians 5. As husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Where do we see that Christ loved the church? How do we see this, or where do we see this today? We see this love in the marriage life, in this love that the husband has for his wife. This is where we see the love that Christ has for his church. And I ask myself, how much do I love my wife? How much do I give myself for her that she would be glorious? And in marriage, you can see the love in many aspects, in all the areas, in body and soul and in spirit. Do I have a nice word for my wife? Or are we just together for certain purposes? Or do we tell each other what the other person should do or can do for us? And how we deal and interact with one another, how I speak with my wife, is also an example for my children. With Isaac and Rebecca, Abimelech saw that they were married because of how Isaac treated his wife. And so in the marriage life, we can see how much Christ loves the church. And I wanted to share something about family life. Because some people have the concept that our family life is in opposition to God's purpose. that, you know, the kids, once we put them to sleep, then we can do something for God's kingdom. Well, if we think about it that way, then most of our life is not for God's kingdom, because in the family life, that's when we serve God. If our I think it comes to our attitude. If where are my thoughts in my interaction with my kids? How can I give the kids something of the Lord? We can serve the Lord very much in this matter and invest it into the kingdom. Sometimes we think family life is just a limitation. We don't have as much freedom as you did before. And you have to do some things in very difficult situations. And certain needs are not met. And that's also how it was with me as I was preparing the word. As I began, then there was screaming in the background. And inwardly I prayed, bring me into your rest. And the Lord heard this prayer and he gave me rest that I could prepare myself in peace and rest. Yes, they are limitations. It is a limitation for myself, for my flesh, but in such a way I will be ground so that in my learning to be an example for my family, that in difficult situations I learn to deal with the Lord, I learn to react in the Lord, then I am very ground. And there's much opportunity to gain fine flour. And sometimes we think, oh, we want to be so free. But in 1 Corinthians 7 said that he has been made free to be a slave of Christ. So either way, we shouldn't just look for our freedom. But we should do all things independent in by being dependent upon the Lord. How do I serve the Lord? If we serve, we shouldn't be religious. It shouldn't just be, okay, do I go to the right or to the left? If I go to left, am I negligent? And if I go right, then I am religious. A religious man does a lot of things for God, but his heart is not there. And I realize this in how I deal with my kids, interact with them. They are very sensitive to how my heart is. They realize very quickly if I speak to them because I know it's the right thing to do, or if my heart is really there. They sense this very much. So whenever I interact with the kids, it's my heart is being tested. Am I doing it from my whole heart, or am I doing it just half-heartedly? So the family life really helps us. It makes me actually free to really invest myself for somebody else and to deny my own soul life. And what can I learn from my own kids? Matthew 18 says we need to be like the little children so that we can enter into the kingdom. Kids really long for closeness to their parents, especially newborns little ones. They're 6 months old, our twins. They're sitting on the floor. They look to me and they want me to respond. And if I smile back at them, then I see how much they also are so happy when they see that reaction. So this shows me also what my relationship should look like. I also look for closeness to the Lord and to the saints, or am I just happy with myself or happy being with myself? So I have to learn to have a heart for others and to live in a relationship with others. be that the enemy really tries to destroy the family life. For example, cell phones really make us, just be for ourselves and not connect with one another. I notice this also with coworkers. They're very correct, but there's no love. There's no heartfelt interaction. And you don't sense that the other person thinks that that their counterpart, the people that they're speaking with, are important to them. So there are many characteristics or many different aspects in our family life, in our marriage life, in our relationship with our kids that we can gain the Lord. So if we're single, if we're married, if we have a family, we all have challenges. We all have temptations. We all have difficulties. And in all things, we have to learn to look away unto the Lord. And wherever we are, and wherever we have challenges, we have to say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I want to gain you in this situation. I want to live you in this situation. And it doesn't matter if you're single, married, or have a family. Regardless, we will receive salvation from the Lord and be transformed. Yeah, use all our different life situations to equip us to serve in your house. Everything should serve this purpose, that we would be prepared for your coming to serve you. Yeah, in the word it says that to be responsible in the church life, you have to really know how to take care of your household first. You have to learn how to take care of your own household.
So,
1 Timothy 3. Verse 4, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man who does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? This is so important for the Lord. And at the beginning it also says that a bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife. So may the Lord really strengthen us in every situation to gain him, that the house of God would be healthy in all aspects. I really want to thank the Lord for the word tonight. I'm very encouraged by the word tonight. To see that his holiness and his glory is expressed through our interactions with one another. We can speak a lot about holiness. We can speak a lot about glory. But we can see how holy or how glorious we are in our interactions with one another. And that's why in God's wisdom, there's this section in Malachi 2 where God speaks to this point very specifically. So I'm very encouraged by this, to pay attention to this more. The Lord says the world will know that we are his disciples. How? And that we have a lot of knowledge, talk a lot about the word? No, and that we love one another. The Lord says that in our dealings and interactions with one another, love will be expressed. Then we will be recognized as his disciples, as people who follow him. So it's good if we're sensitive to this and pay attention to this. Even now at the conference in our interaction with one another and in our daily life? Do we really see them as saints, the holy ones? It should really be our consciousness and our awareness that the saints are holy and that we should deal with one another in such a way. And this word concerning marriage, family, and kids is really true, because the enemy is doing everything to destroy these relationships. It was never as apparent as it is today. Why is the enemy doing this? Because it's so important for God. For God, the family life is, and marriage and the kids are so important. And that's why the enemy attacks it so much. And so the Lord spoke to me to see my marriage life, family life, and the kids as 100% belonging to the kingdom of God. It's horrible. You have such a religious view. I am for the Lord. I serve God, but my family, my marriage, and my kids are just something that, things on the side. Joshua 24:15, he was the leader of the children of Israel at that time, and he was for sure very busy. And he didn't say, I want to serve the Lord. It says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is so wonderful. Even this man who was the leader of the children of Israel, he had this consciousness, awareness that it wasn't just he himself who served the Lord, but he and his whole house. And I want to give a personal testimony. The Lord changed my view of the kids recently. Before, when I prayed for the kids and the kids in Zion, my main focus was that they would be obedient. I said, Lord, let the kids be obedient, because, you know, I profit from it myself. But because I said, okay, the word says children obey your parents. So it's good to obey, pray for obedience. And it's not bad to pray for this. But the Lord showed me, your view of the kids is too narrow. The kids are not just there to obey. They're also a part of the priesthood. They should know me. And in the last few months, we have exercised to pray not just for obedience, that they would be fine human beings, but my prayer is, let our kids know you. Hebrews 8:11. There, God said, none of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. So at home, we've been exercising to bring this verse to the Lord, to say, Lord, you've said it yourself. This belongs also to the definition of the new covenant, that even the youngest would get to know you. And this broadened my view for our kids. Our kids are already priests. They should already know the Lord. The little Samuel in the Word already heard the Lord's voice, got to know the Lord's voice. And this should be our prayer for all the kids in Zion. Not only should the parents hear this, but all the saints should hear this. Pray for the kids. They are confronted with many things in this world, but he wants to make them holy, make them priests. And remember, they don't have as much time as we have had, and they only have a few years until the Lord comes. So our standard for them, or our desire for them should be that they would know the Lord. I told the Lord, I don't want my kids to just know the Bible stories. It's good, and we read the Bible stories to them. But I say, Lord, let them not just know the Bible stories. Let them know you. Let them know your voice. I want my sons to know your voice. And praise the Lord for the word tonight. God wants to gain the whole family for his kingdom and for the priesthood. And let us have this vision in our hearts, and let us really pray for this. Thank you for the holy institution that you love. Yeah, fulfill this word among us. Lord, among the holy priesthood, that you would gain godly offspring. Praise the Lord. We can continue to chew Malachi until we all live this word. Good night and bon appetit.